This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. Well done, team. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their half-day or full-day tours of Canberra. You know, for the longest time, Canberra has been known for two things. Legal fireworks and... Oh, no, I can't mention that second thing, can I? Questacon? Let's say Questacon. But it should be known for three things, really. And that third thing is its ever-expanding beer scene. So if you'd like to check out the great beers of the nation's capital, book a tour now at daves.com.au. This episode of Sessionable is also brought to you by the Institute of Beer. If you're after some more in-depth knowledge of beer and beer styles, outside of the bunch of us just bantering about beer based on some random dice roll, why not check out one of the courses that the Institute of Beer offers? Like their Fool's Guide to Beer, or maybe their Faults and Flavours program. They're a really cool bunch of people who have way more experience than we do, and they actually know what they're talking about. So go check them out at theinstituteofbeer.com. Previously on Style Roulette.
Belgian IPA.
Oh, shit. Thoughts? That's going to be an interesting one.
How are we going to get some Belgian IPA? Also, we'll be able to get some, won't we?
What's up with the fucking European styles? Come on.
And now the conclusion.
Sessionable. Welcome everyone to Sessionable. My name is Adrian and I'm joined today by Liam.
Hey, g'day. How you going?
Good.
It's a bit of a weird day at the moment. Unintentionally covered in glitter and it's raining.
Yeah, it's not raining glitter, but It may as well be.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's been pretty hot, you know, there's glitter evaporating.
Evaporating glitter.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting here at the tap house, you know, on the edge of the Mardi Gras parade route, and I guess, and it's still... There's glitter everywhere.
Yeah, we're a few days removed from Mardi Gras.
I was wondering during the week about the environmental impacts of glitter.
Well, apparently it's really bad.
And right.
They're trying to like get rid of the use of it because it's very hard to remove. And
I'd imagine this after this weekend, there would be and the rain at the moment, there would be a lot of glitter in the water supply, right?
Yeah, I guess it would be.
So Sydney tap water is going to be like Two Birds collaboration beer or something. Yeah.
What is the style for today?
So we're bringing back a style roulette. It's been a little while since we've done one, and I think after the last one where I demanded to be on it, I think I've just muscled Tom out of doing style roulettes, and I'm just going to do it now. So it's you and me, Adrian.
No Tom.
But for those who listened to the last style roulette, we rolled firstly an IPA.
Yep, 21.
Yeah, and then we rolled a Belgium IPA.
Mm. So I think it's 21C?
21B or 21C.
Yeah.
Let me bring it up. I've got it.
So it's part of the specialty IPA classification. So it's kind of like an offshoot of specialty ale. But I guess, I don't know what the exact reasoning is, but I guess the BJCP found that heaps of people were brewing different types of IPAs and they decided to,
Yeah, it's like another one of those stars that was kind of like the, you know, the Cascadian Dark Ale or the Red IPA where, you know, it was about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, there was a lot of Belgium IPAs on the market.
Yeah.
But yeah, interestingly, like what I love doing about this style roulette, because it's a style I don't really know a great deal about, but then, you know, doing the research for this episode, you kind of learn some cool things about it. So
yeah,
I think it's a great style because it's basically a bunch of Belgian people trying to replicate American beers, which is the opposite of pretty much what everyone else does with Belgian beers anyway.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
And I guess that like it also kind of spawned from the American homebrew scene of, you know, people trying different stuff with their IPAs and using Belgian yeast.
And I guess the other thing as well is like when we rolled this one last time, I immediately started thinking, well, oh crap, what kind of beer can we get?
Yeah.
Because there's not really a lot you can find at the moment.
Yeah, it's not super common, especially in Australia.
So, I mean, and I always wanted, as soon as it came up, I thought I want to do like a Belgian one, not and another brewery's doing a Belgium yeast IPA, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the only two that really came to mind were the Triple Hop from Duval.
Yep.
And the Durank XX Bitter.
Yeah. And I think you can get the Hublot & Schouf here as well.
I have seen it around, yeah. But then, like, how fresh do we want to be drinking our Belgium IPAs?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
Yeah. What are we drinking, Adrian?
We are drinking, and thanks to our producer Lee for donating this bottle to the podcast, it's Durank XXX Bitter.
So I love Durank XX Bitter, which has been around for ages.
Yep.
So what's the difference between this and the normal one?
So this one, it has 50% more hops than the Double X Bitter, but I think it's the same alcohol percentage, so 6%. And they classify it as a hoppy golden ale on the label, but it's within the guideline, I'm pretty sure.
I guess what I really like about this and the Belgian version of the Belgian IPA style, if that makes sense, we'll try and clear that up a bit later, is the fact that they're actually still using like Belgium and Noble hops. So it's using Hallertau and Mittelfrau.
Mm.
I can never pronounce that right. Is that right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Tom's not here to correct us.
He'll probably come storming in the building
any second now. But
Mittelfrau! I must correct someone's pronunciation. it's still using like some pretty classical European hops.
Yeah. And you definitely get that on the nose.
Yeah, yeah. But then it's still got a lot of like Belgian yeasty character.
Mm.
And I think the difference I see a lot of the time between like a Belgian brewed Belgian IPA and like something like an Australian or American one is the yeast strain that they use is not so that super like Tripel or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's not super yeasty. I mean, this is almost like a light saison, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I guess it's like whatever like they would normally use anyway, but they just add hops to it.
Yeah, it's just like a blonde ale, a Belgian blonde ale, but then with a shitload of hops.
Yeah, so I guess like what you're saying is the American brewers would tend to use like the most outrageous,
the really big Belgian beers.
Yeah, like the most, the one with the most character, like estuary character or whatever.
But I mean, if you gave this to me blind, I'd almost probably try and pick it as a saison more than
it almost is, and it has that character, but then, you know, you drink it and it has that bitter finish.
I really like this beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good beer.
So, do you want to talk a little bit about, we'll go through some of the BJCP classifications. So, for those who haven't listened to our style roulette, so basically we roll the dice and roll a beer off or a style off the BJCP style guidelines. I think we've talked about it in previous episodes, but we're using the BJCP style guidelines. And the style guidelines are really cool. So if you want to follow it at home, jump on your phone. There's heaps of free apps, BJCP apps. Just make sure it's got the 2015 version, which is the most current version.
Yep. And that's the one that we're referring to.
And then if you've got it on your phone, you want to bring it up, it's 21C is what we're talking about. It's a bit of a catch-all category as well.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at things like appearance, and it says anything from light golden to amber. It can be really clear, it can be hazy.
I guess, like, because it's a meld of two different kind of vague styles, like IPA, American IPAs, and I guess Belgian golden ale, or maybe even Belgian triple, like, it has to kind of encompass a lot of different aroma and appearance and flavor characteristics. So, yeah, I mean, you want to go through it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, looking at aroma, and I think, well, kind of what we were talking about before is that yeast, and I think hop selection is probably the two main differences we see with this style of beer. It's generally going to be a paler beer, but BJCP says the aroma is moderate to high hop aroma, often tropical, stone fruit, citrus, or pine-like, typical of American or New World hop varieties. But what we're having is noble hop varieties, so it's very different. So what we've got is more of a floral and spicy aromas are also found, which is what we're indicating European hops. So definitely we've got some European hops in this one here. Grassy aromas due to dry hopping may be present. Gentle, grainy, sweet malt aroma with little to no caramel. Fruity esters are moderate to high and may include aromas of bananas, pears, apples, which are things pretty commonly found in like a, you know, Belgian ale yeast.
Yeah.
Light cloves, like clove, like fennels may be noticeable as well. Belgium candy sugar like aromas are sometimes present. Do you reckon this has got Belgium candy sugar in it?
I don't think this one does. I mean, this one's, it seems like a pretty dry one to me.
And it is quite dry.
If it did have candy sugar, it wouldn't be so dry.
Yeah. I won't go through the whole thing, but history is another one I thought might be really cool to talk about because it's a relatively new style, started showing up in the mid-2000s. Home brewers and microbrewers simply substituted Belgian yeast in their American IPA recipes. Belgian breweries added more hops to their triple and pale ale recipes. So it's kind of like, it's pretty much almost two beer styles in one.
Yeah.
And there's
two different interpretations of it.
I like that, you know, that thought process of a home brewer or some microbrewer brewing an IPA and being like, oh, crap, I've got no USO 5.
That's right.
It's like, what have we got? Oh, we've got that Belgian yeast that's been sitting in the freezer for ages. Chuck that in, you know, like... I like that aspect of it, which is pretty cool. But then I really like the other stream, which I was talking about before, is like, you know, Belgian breweries or younger generation Belgian brewers being like, oh man, we have to brew these classical styles, and you got these cool American dudes like dry hopping the shit out of everything. I want to do that.
I'm just going to chuck a whole bag of hops in there.
He's like, oh, the brewmaster's gone today. Yeah, chuck them hops in, let's go. Like, yeah. I think you can sort of see that as well with like the examples of styles. So, you know, like, because that was the other thing I was saying as well, is like, I'm trying to look at a bottle we could grab today is kind of a bit all over the place on what we've done, but I'm happy we went down the Belgian route, because you know, Derenck's, you know, it's a fairly newer of Belgian breweries, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
and I always feel like Derenck's one of my like best value Belgian breweries you can get, like the Derenck cuvée and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, those two sours are fucking amazing. Beers, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and so the Derenck XS Bitter has always been one that's been really cool.
Yeah,
so
and I think the XS Bitter is probably one of the early examples of this style from the Belgian side anyway. And I guess from the American side, one of the first ones to come up was the Stone Cali Belgique.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
that's one of those beers you'd heard about like years before you ever get the
yeah,
to
yeah,
try
exactly,
it.
Yeah. And then soon after that, the Lafrique came out
from Green Flash. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, I think I might have been in the US like just after that came out, and everyone was just freaking out over it. Like, no pun intended.
Were they Lafrique again? Yeah. Well, I remember when we had Green Flash beers here. Like, I remember when I first started working in bottle shops, you'd see the Green Flashes around, and they had the Lafrique as well. And then, you know, things like Duval do their triple hop. I think it's a Citra version they do these days. I remember that being like, that really blew my mind, thinking, because you think of Duval being this pretty old school Belgian brewery to do like a triple hop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then a brewery that I've been reading a bit about lately is De La Seine out of Belgium, which is some pretty young dudes. And
they were making some interesting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't tried any of their stuff, but I was listening to another podcast called Belgium Smack. Have you ever listened to that?
No, but you recommended it. I really want to check it out.
Yeah. And he did he only releases a podcast every like 3 or 4 months, so it's been
there's
sporadic.
Only 9 episodes so far.
But one of the latest ones he did was with one of the guys from De La Seine, and he was talking about the Terrace Bulba, which is their Belgium IPA, which is really interesting as well.
Do you know of any Australian examples?
The first thing that came to mind is like, surely Doc's done a Belgium IPA.
Well, he's done a black one.
He's done a black
of course
Belgium
he has.
IPA, yeah.
Because he's not going to do a regular Belgian IPA.
But yeah, can you think of any?
There are a few around, I think, but there's none that I know that are regular
that you can
releases.
Get now, or yeah.
So like Feral does the Raging Phlegm.
Yep, which is a Belgian IPA, which is a Brewpub
series.
In a while. I think if you can make your way over to Swan Valley, I'm assuming it's probably you have a good chance of getting that on tap.
Yeah, maybe.
There.
Bright Brewery does the Battle of the Bulge, I believe it's called.
I don't think I've actually had that beer.
I haven't had it.
I think it's just not been on the times that I've been there, yeah. I feel like Nomad might have done. Does that? You know, I just feel like something that sounds like something that.
I feel
they
like Murray's
done.
Did one, but I couldn't really find any info back when like Sean was head brewer. I'm sure he played around with that, but I don't know.
If you're listening at home and you can think of some that we're just not getting,
yeah,
let us know. Yeah.
Apparently, the Young Henry's Frenzel Romb collaboration beer was a Belgian IPA.
Ahead of the curve there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I've had it, but I can't remember anything about it. But yeah.
So there has been some, but yeah.
There has been some, but like it's not really a popular style.
But what about
here
white IPAs? Because that can pretty much be almost the same thing, just using like a Belgian whip.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Right. Is that...
Look, there is actually a
white IPA.
For white IPA.
Yeah, okay, 21H.
Yeah, yep. But I feel like they're pretty similar.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because wheat is the main difference, right? But I remember having a conversation with Doc years ago about, what the hell is a Belgian white IPA? So I, without reading too much into it now, because we might even roll it, we never know. But I feel like there's a lot of similarities where it's a bit of a multiple beer style. I think there's one more thing I wanted to talk about that in the BJCP style guidelines when they talk about ingredients. And they said they have a thing called comments, and it said the choice of yeast strain and hop varieties is critical since many choices will horribly clash. And I think there's probably a way we can draw that line between are you using a really funky hop or a really big hop character in American hops?
Yeah.
Or a big yeast character in American hops, or using like noble hops? Because I think If this beer had big, piney American hops,
it would be a bit weird.
Would be a bit weird.
Oh, it would be completely different as well.
Yeah. But you know what? For it is a pretty big beer, but I think this is quite still a very delicate, balanced beer. Yeah. I don't know. I love it.
I think Belgians know how to do balance.
Yeah, but it's weird because this whole beer is about throwing the balance out. But even doing that, it's still really balanced.
They're still like, oh.
They've still got some finesse about dry hopping it. Yeah.
Got to balance.
In summary, I really like Belgium IPAs.
Yeah, especially this one. It's good.
Thanks, I know we don't normally do news when it comes to style roulette, but I have style news. Ooh. I might bring something.
Okay.
Have you seen that the AIBA awards have created a New England Pale Ale category?
No, I did not see this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
interesting.
As far as I know, I mean, like the BJCP or the BA, I believe neither of them have a New England IPA category, and I'm pretty sure the AIBA uses the BA style guidelines.
Right.
And so they've actually developed a style guideline for New England IPA. So people are going to be entering New England IPAs into its own category for the AIBA awards this year.
Oh, this is going to cause a lot of controversy, whoever wins.
Well, I was looking at the style guidelines. I don't have it in front of me, but it is a wide ranging.
Yeah.
I think they have up to 100 IBU which is...
Yeah, that's not New England, right? It's like, surely it's a low bitterness.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. There's no consensus on this.
Well, how do you... Like, are we going to be the first as a national beer awards to categorize what a New England... That's kind of weird that the Australians are the first ones to, like, before the Americans and stuff like the World Beer Cup or stuff like that. But I think they just knew that people were going to be entering in some catch-all categories anyway. Like, we might as well just create a new one because there's going to be 1,000 of them entered anyway.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting who takes the prize for the first.
Yeah.
Or even if they give a gold, maybe they just, like, totally diss it like they did the Gypsy Brewer category.
Yeah, maybe.
Not award anything the first year was created. Yeah.
Hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
But I thought we had some style news.
When's the awards?
It's in line with Good Beer Week, so it's in May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So judging is beforehand. But,
Oh, that's the AIBA ones, not the CBA ones.
Oh, the IBA.
The IBA ones. Oh, whatever it's called.
They're going to be in July, and they're going to be in Sydney.
Sweet.
Yeah. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sessionable.
The Hunter Valley is well known for its wine, but did you know that there's a growing beer scene there as well? A great way to check out the awesome beer and breweries in the Hunter Valley is to get on a brewery tour. Fortunately, Dave's Travel and Events Group offers such a tour. On their appropriately named Hop Hunter Tour, you'll visit breweries new and old and find out why the Hunter Valley is not just about wine. To book your tour today, check out daves.com.au.
So while we're on the break, Adrian got his, what do you call a sack of dice?
Dice sack?
Dice sack? You got your dice sack out, we dusted
my 33-sided dice.
Yeah, and we rolled, and what did we get?
We got 11 from the 33-side one.
And 11 had three categories, so we rolled again.
And we rolled a 3-sided dice, which, is that even possible? I'm not sure.
But
we rolled it, and we got 2, which
is B. So that means
it
gives us 11 B?
Yep.
And this is going to be a good one. It's an English Best Bitter.
Yeah. I think that one's going to have a really good story time.
I think we'll have a great story time for that one.
I don't think we've done... Have we done a British one before?
Well, you've done a German one.
We've done Czech. Don't think we've done...
Belgium. So we're keeping it all in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still no Americans. Oh, no. Have we done American? I can't remember.
Well, what was the first one you did?
Oh, we've done English Brown, so we haven't done a British.
You haven't done English
We have done a British beer before. Yeah.
So I won't talk too much about best bitters because we'll save that for next style roulette, but I will give some style examples so people can know the type of things we might be in for. Fuller's London Pride.
Mm.
Shepherd's Neame. They do a Master Brew, which is a Kentish Ale. Timothy Taylor Landlord.
Oh, Landlord.
There's some good beers in there. Yeah. So that's going to be fun. That's it for Style Roulette for this week. We've got some recommendations to do.
Yeah, sure.
When do we do beer or non-beer first?
Let's go beer first.
Beer first?
Yeah.
So I haven't been drinking a lot this week, but I have had one beer I've drunk a lot this week.
Yeah.
I had a couple of sessions at Batch over the last couple of days because I just work right next to them. And they've re-released the current state of infusion, which was their Gabs beer last year, which is a coffee and currant sour.
Yep.
It's tasting really good.
Yeah, cool.
I finished work on Friday and went to batch for a quick one that wasn't really a quick one.
Yep.
I didn't get to sleep till 2 a.m. because I drank a lot of coffee sour.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to watch out for those
and
beers.
Then Sunday was back there and went straight back for it again. So, yeah. The new batch of current set of infusion is out. And give it a go. I think it's got a lot more coffee in this round than the original one. But, yeah, it's actually really good.
Cool.
What about yourself?
So Herman's Hands, who we had raised money for during our live episode.
We did, yeah.
On our most recent one. We had a launch event for them at the Royal Albert.
What are they launching?
So they are launching a new line of clothing.
Ah, cool.
To kind of, you know, raise awareness for mental health and suicide.
Yeah, suicide prevention, right?
Suicide prevention, yeah. Yep. And basically they raise money to make a new line of shirts, and the profits from those shirts will go directly towards suicide prevention agencies.
Awesome.
Which is really awesome.
And how did the event
go? And all the shirts are like kind of have messages saying, you know, anti-suicide and everything. So it's pretty cool and awesome designs as well.
They look sick. They do look really cool.
Amazing event. Like it was packed and so many people came. And
I heard a couple of the swans walked in the door. Was that right?
Yeah, Buddy Franklin was there.
Did you lose your stuff? Did you lose your shit?
I was fine. Tom completely froze.
Like, was Tom silent?
Yeah, like Tom was at the bar having a drink, and Buddy came up to order a drink, and Tom just like froze, like literally he wasn't moving the entire time Buddy was getting his drinks. And then he asked for a selfie and Buddy said, nah, mate.
I love that. That actually gives me, like, not that I don't like Buddy as a Swans member, but the fact that he refused Tom a selfie makes me love Buddy so much more.
He's just even more of a legend now.
If only he face-palmed him away, it would have been better. But, sorry, what was your beer recommendation?
So, anyway, heaps of breweries donated kegs for the event so we can donate all the proceeds directly to Herman's Hands. And one of the breweries was Shark Island, and they donated their Australian ale, which was tasting fucking awesome. Like,
yeah,
really good, smashable, like sub 5% pale ale. Really,
I don't get a chance to go to Shark Island that much. I've been a couple of times doing brewery tours and stuff, and every time I've gone there, their beers have always been...
Yeah, I haven't really cool. had too many of their beers.
Maybe it's an episode in the future.
Yeah.
Go hang out with Dreiser and the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, so Shark Island, Australia, and yeah, support Herman's Hands.
Great, cool. Non-beer recommendation. I, out of nowhere the other day, I think it was on Saturday, I had didn't get much sleep the night before, a little bit dusty. I was just at home, I had the morning off with nothing to do, so I was like, oh, that is urge to want to watch Breaking Bad again.
Oh, yeah?
So I realized it's on Stan, so I've been binge watching Breaking Bad going from the start, so I think I'm about halfway through the second season now. Gotta say, it's holding up pretty well. Yeah,
you know what, I only ever got up to the second season, so I should actually finally watch it.
Should do it. Yeah, yeah. It's all on. I think they've got the whole thing on Stan at the moment. If you got Stan. But awesome. It was one of those things. I watched it when it first came out, and I'm really bad with like watching things as they're happening.
Yeah,
like TV shows, and then like I think I got up to about the second or third season and then just did that. I mean, I've done the same thing with Walking Dead and I haven't gone back and watched it. I think probably Game of Thrones is the only like current series that I've watched all the way through.
Yeah, because everyone's fucking talking about it.
But that, and also my flatmates are like massive Game of Thrones nerds. So that was like when I moved into that house a few years ago, it was like when I was like sitting down with them to talk about, you know, who we are as people. It was like, it's the one rule of the house is that you have to be home for Game of Thrones.
That was it.
Not
selection
like,
criteria.
Not like, don't throw up in the kitchen. It was like, you have to, I think, yeah, it was, do you watch Game of Thrones? Will you be here every night for Game of Thrones? Yes. And have you heard of this Japanese, or was it Asian TV show called Are You the One? Have you seen that?
Yeah, If You're the One.
If You're the One. That was the two things. I was like, I don't know that one, but I'm willing to learn. And that's what got me into that house. But yeah.
Awesome.
But so I've been I got to say, I was really enjoying watching Breaking Bad again, and I'm rooting for like massive meth cooking. Is it's kind of annoying because I know some of the things that happen later on, like when they get some serious meth cooking. I kind of just want to watch them smash out some mad batches of meth, but still enjoying it at the same time.
I love how your recommendation is like a kind of continuation from your beer recommendation. It's like, oh, I didn't get much sleep from Current State of Infusion, so I started watching Breaking
Actually,
Bad.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah, but yeah, they are directly linked. So yeah.
I guess mine's a continuation as well because...
I thought you were implying I was smoking meth and that's why I couldn't sleep.
No, when I finished work after the Herman's Hands event, I got pretty drunk and woke up with a pretty gnarly flu. So kind of just been homebound for the most part. And I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter World on the Xbox. It's fucking sick, man. Like,
is that good? I've never played any of the Monster Hunter
series. So I've talked...
apparently this one's like going gangbusters.
Yeah, so I've talked about the series before and...
I remember you recommended a few of them.
This one's kind of like the first really proper mainstream one for a while, like ever since the PlayStation ones came out. And yeah, it's like I tried to buy a copy, you know, after I got back from holidays and it was sold out. Like the Xbox One copy, One version was sold out everywhere near the city. So I had to go to like Artarmon or something if I wanted to get a copy. I was like, fuck that. I just got a digital version.
I hate digital versions.
But yeah, I know it sucks, but like I didn't want to go to, Artarmon.
What I hate worse is when you buy a physical version and there's no actual digital.
Yeah, you just got to download it anyway.
But as a noob who's never played any Monster Hunters, is this one where I could pick it up?
Yeah, so they've actually made a lot of it very kind of beginner-friendly, like new player-friendly. And I think that's what kind of has gotten a lot of people in.
You didn't recommend this last episode, did
No, I was about to.
Did we have a conversation
about it? Yeah, we did. Okay. But I ended up recommending I, Tonya, which...
Yes, that's right. I remember that. Cool. All right. Yeah, well, because, I've heard a lot of people talk about the series and I've never really got into it. So if this is a good one where I could start...
Especially if you, like, have friends to play with. Like, I find it really...
Will you play with me?
If you have it on Xbox, sure. No. You can play with Tom, right?
Is it a multiplayer thing or is it a...
So it's... you can do the entire thing single player if you like, but it's a lot of fun.
Fun with friends.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun with friends.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, so...
I'll get some friends first. That'll be my next week's recommendation. Yeah.
If you guys have any suggestions for friends for Liam, send it to @ Sessionable Pod.
Is there like a Tinder for friends?
Send it to @ Sessionable Pod on Twitter.
Or
send a suggestion on iTunes with a 5-star review.
Awesome. So before we wrap up and that lovely... thanks, Adrian. We've got a few things coming up that we're going to be out and about doing.
Yeah. So 2 days from now, release-wise, we'll be at the Bankstown Sports Club.
Yep, for their barrel-aged beer event with Stockade Brewing.
Yep.
I think we talked about it last episode. We will make up the lost interview we did with Gareth and Tero. But if you want to come, I think we talked about it a bit last week, but if you want to come and you've never been to Bankstown Sports Club, it's a perfect chance to go. From someone who's been there a few times, if you've never been, just seriously go check it out. It's an insane space. It's really cool. And I'm really keen to see the pairings they do for this because the food I've had there is really cool.
It looks like a pretty hectic lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
I have like a kind of Inner West brewery crawl the day before, so it's going to be rough.
Dark beers afterwards will be fine. We'll get you through it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the food, though, and I think Sullivan's Cove as well.
The food will be really cool because, I mean, I think when we went the last time, we just had burgers, but not just burgers. The burgers are really good, but they do like a whole charcuterie range and stuff like that as well, so I think they'll be pretty serious when it comes to the food.
Nice.
But yeah, really, really keen to try Sullivan's Cove whiskey and a beer aged in the same barrel as well. So there are tickets available for that one. I think we'll have a link to the show notes, but you can just go onto the Bankstown Sports Club website. And I think it's directly there as well. So a few of us from the Sessionable team are going to be there in the dinner. So if you want to come say hi to us, if that's what's going to bring you there, I feel sorry for you, but come say hi. Because I'd hope you come in there for the amazing food and the booze. But come down. Besides that, we're also going to be heading down to Beechworth for the
Hop Harvest.
Hop Harvest Festival with our awesome sponsor, Dave's Travel and Events Group. If you want to come and join us, and you want to jump on the bus with us from Sydney, I'm sorry, but we've filled the bus.
Mm.
If you're around the Canberra region, you want to come from Canberra, there's still spots in the Canberra bus. But the other thing as well is if you want to just make your own way there, we have a bit of a self-drive option as well at Dave's. So you can book the accommodation, do all the activities with us, but just make your own way there and back.
Awesome.
So I know a few other people who are going to be coming on, who are going to be doing their own driving as well.
Is that through the website as well? Or is
There's it's called a self-drive option. It's through Dave's website. So you can do that. If you live close to Canberra, you can make your way to Canberra, and Shano can drive you from Canberra as well.
Yep.
But yeah, I think we've talked about it a fair bit. It's going to be awesome. The fact that we've got a full bus from Sydney is going to be really good fun.
Sweet.
Fortunately, Adrian, you can't make it.
No, I can't make it, unfortunately. Yep.
But I will drink your fair share.
Yep.
I'll say hi to everyone for you. And if you can't make that, but you've never been to that region, the High Country region, we've also got the Darker Days tour. And
Part two.
And I think you and I, you were there last year. Yeah,
yeah, I was there last year. I intend to go this year.
Bigger, better and darker this year is what I've been told. So, That was a great time.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah, it was so fun.
I just love going to that High Country region of Victoria. It's just amazing. It's so beautiful.
So is it going to be the same deal like Sydney, Canberra and self-drive for Darker Days?
Yes. Yeah, sweet. So we'll have a bus going from Sydney, bus going from Canberra, and we'll have the self-drive as well. Like with the High Country, we're extending it to the Darker Days. It'll be a three-day trip because it was a bit of a punish last year, to be honest, doing it in 2 days. So we'll have a spare day for more activities. But yeah, it's two awesome trips. And if you want to do some more stuff this year at Days, we're doing a whole bunch more beer activities and beer festivals across Australia and a little bit further as well. Yeah, I guess the other thing is, though, for those who actually got tickets on the Sydney bus or the Canberra bus for the Hop Harvest Festivals, Dave's coming in hot from Vermont.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we sometimes might have a bit of a bottle share or a can share somewhere along the way. So I'm putting some money on Dave to bring some good stuff for that as well.
Bus might be smelling a bit dank.
Yeah, a bit haze. He sent me an email the other day and he's already looking for a good pilsner in Vermont.
Oh, classic Dave.
Classic Dave.
He should have brought some Australian pilsners with him.
I packed him up with some wildflower before he went. So. So if you ever want to come and join us on some stuff, we will be doing much more activities at Sessionable. We've talked about doing a trip to Canberra, maybe a Southern Highlands trip, going down to places like Illawarra and Shark Island might be on the cards as well. But yeah, keep an eye out. But yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers.